Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Jesus so plainly said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John chapter 3 and verse 5. Welcome to our series of lessons on the subject of baptism. In previous lessons, we have stressed the importance and the essentiality of one being baptized to be saved. Paul or Saul is a perfect example of that. On the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, Saul cried out, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And the Lord said to Saul, "You go in the city and it'll be told you what you must do." Acts 9 verses 4 through 6. In recounting his own conversion, we learn what that essential element for Saul was. Paul said, or Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so, yes, it is absolutely essential that one is immersed for the forgiveness of his sins. And while we've taught that, and that's so true, I wonder if in our efforts to stress the essentiality of baptism, have we also prepared people to know what to do after they're baptized? Sometimes I think that in teaching the gospel, we do such a great job teaching about God's plan of salvation and baptism and how to become a Christian that once somebody obeys the gospel, maybe we're not as prepared to tell them, "Now you've been baptized, here's what you need to do." And so today's lesson is designed to answer the question, after baptism, then what? Now that I have obeyed the gospel, now that I am a child of God, a New Testament Christian, and a member of the Lord's body, what do I need to do now? First of all, we teach and the Scriptures teach that a person must never, ever stop growing. Baptism is not the end, it is the beginning. It's not the stopping point. It's the starting point. It's not the ringing of the buzzer. It's the starting of the buzzer. And thus, never, ever stop growing as a child of God. In fact, the Christian's goal is to take root downward and bear fruit upward. 2 Kings 19, verse 30. As a newborn babe in Christ, I've got to desire the pure milk of the Word that I may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 5. Peter encouraged Christians, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I need to launch out into the deep. Mark chapter 5, verse 4. I need to increase in my faith and my love for Almighty God. You see, as a Christian, I want to grow in love for God and for His church. Hebrews 13:1, the Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue." John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another." I want to grow closer to God's family, God's church, and I want to have a true love for God and His church. Remember the question Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Mark chapter 12, verse 30 following. I want to learn every day to walk closer to the Almighty, to have a deeper abiding love and faith in Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for Him who died for them and rose again." I want to learn to be crucified with Christ even more. Galatians 2:20. I want to die to self a greater death every day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. And I want to reach that climax, as Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That love for Christ, that's so desperately what every child of God needs. For the one who left heaven. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. That one whose mind I'm to have, Philippians 2 verse 5, whose shoes I'm to walk in, steps I'm to walk in, 1 Peter 2 verse 21, and the one who is to be my ultimate role model. Imitate me, Paul said, as I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And so, are we growing in our love for God? Are we growing in our love for Christ? And are we growing in our love for the church? The church is the beautiful bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 21. The church is that group of people. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Who will spend eternity together in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24. And just as Jesus loved the church, so I ought to love it. Acts 20 verse 28. Jesus loved the church so much, He purchased her with His own blood. If I love the church, I'm going to love the members of the church. I'm going to love the mission of the church. I'm going to love the work of the church. And I'm going to want to be involved in every way possible. And so, after baptism, what's your first charge? Never, ever stop growing as a child of God. Secondly, as a child of God who has just obeyed the gospel, determine right now, make a purpose in mind, just as Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel 1 verse 8, purpose in your heart. Make up your mind right now, I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what. You see, friend, to be pleasing to the Lord, I must be faithful to Him. To suffering Christians in the church in Ephesus, Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 10, yes, it's true. Some of you are about to be thrown in prison, period of 10 days. And then He said this, but be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. To receive that victor's crown, to make it to that wonderful promised land across Jordan, I've got to be faithful. You see, it's not everybody who just mouths the words Jesus that's going to be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, it's not everybody that looks up into heaven and says, Lord, Lord, that's going there. Well, who is going to go? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. To the pious and hypocritical Jews, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? The Lord Himself will only be the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Hebrews 5 verses 8 and 9. Blessed are those who keep His commands, that they may have right to the tree of life and they may enter therein. Revelation 22 verse 14. And thus determine ahead of time, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacle Satan puts in my life, I'm going to be faithful unto death. Now, let's emphasize for just a few moments some areas in which a person needs to be faithful all the time and grow in that faithfulness. Number one, I want to be faithful in Bible study. Oh, how each of us needs to be faithful in studying our Bible. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, the command was given, study to show yourself approved unto God. I love the example of the Bereans who in Acts chapter 17 verse 11, the Bible says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. They're ready to hear God's word, but they didn't buy into it until they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's why Christians are told, be ready always. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. The righteous man, the young person who's going to resist temptation has God's Word hidden in his heart so that he might not sin against Him. Psalm 119, verses 10 through 12. And oh, how I need to have the attitude of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This is my comfort in my affliction, the psalmist said. Your Word has given me life. Jeremiah 15, 16, Psalm 119, verse 50. And don't ever forget the beautiful words of Jesus in the Beatitudes. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 5, 6 and Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Then, as I determine to be faithful, I want to be faithful in prayer. Oh, the power of prayer in a child of God's life. James said, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man overcomes much. James 5, verse 16. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. I need to start every day and be faithful in prayer that way. Remember Mark 1, verse 35? The Bible says of Jesus, in the morning, a great while before daylight, He departed, went to a solitary place, and there prayed. How did Jesus, you ever wonder some of the days in Jesus' life? How did He have the strength to endure? How did He have the faith to overcome? Jesus sought God's help in prayer, and we must be faithful in prayer also. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and never lose heart. We can come boldly. Here's the power of prayer. In prayer and through the vehicle of prayer, I can come boldly to the throne of grace that I may find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And then, friend, once you become a child of God, make up your mind that I'm going to be faithful in telling somebody else about the gospel. Are you thankful for what the Lord did for you? John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Not just for the world, though. For me. I've had my sins washed away. I have my name registered in heaven's book. Revelation 3, verses 4 and 5. And if I live faithful on that great day, I can hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you thankful for that? Do you really appreciate it? If so, be faithful in evangelism. What was the Lord's dying request? Do you remember Matthew 28:18? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel unto every creature. Jesus Himself lived this in His own life. Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38, Jesus is elevated above the people, and as He looks down on the crowds, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're scattered and in disarray. And Jesus said, truly, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send out laborers into His field. I'm that laborer. You're that laborer. And oh, how we need to take the gospel everywhere we go. Acts 5 is a great example. Peter and John were beaten. They were mocked. Stripes were laid on their back for preaching the gospel. They're told, don't say anything else about this Jesus. And directly after being beaten, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not teaching Jesus and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Acts 5, verses 41 and 42. Like Christians in the early church who faced severe persecution, may we take the gospel wherever we go. Those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And then as a third item to which a person needs to give himself after being baptism, it's this. After baptism, you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to shun, I'm not going to have anything to do with evil companions. Yes, that means you're going to have to talk plainly and straight to your friends of the world. Not unkind. Ephesians 4:15 says, I want to speak the truth in love, but I'm now going to have to say, when you go to that place down there, I'm a Christian, I can't go anymore. When you drink that, I don't do that anymore. I'm not going to put that in my body anymore. I'm not going to be involved in that immoral action anymore. You've got to shun ungodly practices. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. You know, the Bible specifically says and explicitly says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, shun or depart from evil companions. Evil companions, the Bible says, corrupts good morals. If I'm trying to do right and live right and talk right and I hang around people who don't have that as their moral barometer or standard, how's that going to affect me as a new Christian? It's going to be very, very difficult. Now, let me illustrate the temptation that will occur. Because of the influence of the world, there have been people in the Bible whose righteous souls were vexed. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his family? The Bible says that Lot, his soul was vexed. That means he was in between a rock and a hard place. He was always having to fight that fight more and more in that wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. What about Balaam? You know, Balaam made a great statement in Numbers chapter 22. I'm not going to turn from the right hand or to the left. I'm only going to do what God says. And yet, 10 chapters later, Balaam dies in battle fighting against the people of God. What happened? Greed, Jude tells us, worldliness, lust, and passion eventually overtook Balaam. And so here are some things you desperately need to shun. Number one, don't let evil companions talk you into getting involved in alcohol or drugs or ungodly things like that. The Bible says, do not be drunken with wine wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18. The Scripture says, wine is a mocker, strong drink's a brawler, and whoever's led astray by it is not wise. What are you going to do after you obey the gospel? Maybe you've had a party lifestyle. Maybe you've been involved in alcohol or drugs. If you have those same friends, and remember, baptism removes the sin, not the temptation. If that temptation is still there, although you've been forgiven, and you run with that same crowd, do you want that temptation constantly in your face? Well, of course not. Thus, you're going to have to make some difficult choices. When the friends you used to have come over and say, let's go down to the bar, what do you say? Well, you've got to say, I've been reading my Bible and I'm trying to live the right life. God doesn't want me down there. You know God doesn't want you down there either. And you might open up a door to talk to Him. You're going to have to do your best to shun immoral practices, both sexually and in one's language and in one's speech. For the Scripture says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The Bible says some were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, and Paul said such, listen to the past tense, were some of you. I can't live in those ungodly practices anymore, meaning if I've been involved in immoral sexual relations, I've got to stop that. I can't go back into sexual impurity, immorality, ungodliness. I've got to leave that lifestyle behind. If I used to use language that the Bible says ought not to, I've got to stop that. Ephesians 5:29, the Bible says, we're not to let any filthy communication come out of our mouth. Colossians 3 verse 8, we're to speak what is good and wholesome and upright. We're not to let any curse words go out of our lips. Now, does this mean I'm going to be perfect? That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that perfection is something we will achieve immediately, but I want to try my best to avoid that. And, listen carefully, if I'm around people who are constantly using those words, and those words are entering my mind through my ears, and I hear them regularly, oh, how the level of temptation of me using that language is a lot higher. And so I'll have to say to my friends, you know, the Bible doesn't want you to talk like that, and it doesn't want me to talk like that. And if you're going to continue to use that language, you're going to have to find a new friend. Oh, do we want them to go to heaven? Absolutely. Do we want to make a good influence? Yes. But not at the cost of our own soul. Don't let ungodly friends rub off on you for evil. You stay true to God and shun those ungodly practices. Then, after baptism, as a new babe in Christ, you're going to have to now avoid some questionable places. You see, we're not to be friends of the world and worldly practices. God says in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 18 and 19, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord." God has called me out of the world and its practices, and I shouldn't go to places I might once would have went. You see, James 4:4 uses some of the strongest language in all of Scripture. Adulterers and adulteresses. Now, naturally, I'm thinking there's going to be some sexual sin he's going to list. It's not what it is. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world has made himself God's enemy. God's already taught us, don't love the world or the things of the world. You know, friend, if you don't draw a line somewhere, it's as the old song says, you've got to stand for something eventually, or you'll fall for everything. As a child of God, you've got to draw a line and say, this is what God's standard says. This is not a practice I ought to be involved in. I'm not going to go there. You see, here's my attitude now. I want to now, as a child of God, prove all things first. Then hold fast that which is good. If I'm thinking about doing something and I'm unsure, or if it's questionable, what should I do? Well, God's given us all things for life and godliness in the Bible. I want to ask, what does the Scripture say? Romans 4, verse 3. I want to see, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37, verse 17. And if I've got questions and I'm not sure, I sure don't want to violate my conscience. Romans chapter 14, verse 31 following says, whatever's not of faith is sin. If it's questionable, go to the Bible and check it. If you don't know where to go or you don't find the answer right away, don't get involved in it until you do find out for sure. Now, let me mention some practices that a person needs to avoid as a child of God. You desperately need to avoid these kind of lifestyles. The dancing, bar scene, gambling, liquor stores, immodesty, R-rated movies, places where you know is going to be chock full of sin. Friend, those are places a Christian ought not to be. And if I'm going to fight the fight, I've got to realize that's not somewhere I need to be. And when people say, hey, come go with us, we're going down to the honky-tonk to dance, what do you say? Not me. I'm a child of God, and that life's behind me, and I want to do my best to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. And then we say this to you. After baptism, I really want to stress, listen carefully. After baptism into Christ, you need to be faithful and make sure you attend all the services of the Lord's church. All the worship, Bible study that you can get, you need to fill your bucket with it. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, Christians are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That is not an option. That's not an alternative. That's a command. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And why would you want to? Listen to the words of David in Psalm 122, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Where better could you be than in the house of God, worshiping, praising, and studying His almighty presence and His Word? You want to be faithful in attending all the services of the Lord because that's where we observe the Lord's Supper, which you're commanded to keep. Acts 20, verse 7, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. That's to be done until the Lord comes again. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 following, and I want to make it a aim every first day of the week to be there and to partake in that action. You know, friend, really it comes down to this. I want to make it my top priority. Make a priority list, what's really important. And if heaven's at the top of that, my friend, God and Bible study and worship are all right there together. Make it your goal to put worshiping God at the top of that list. Jesus said God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Friend, it really comes down to this. This is really the question that's asked of you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Can you really be seeking first the kingdom of God and not be with the saints, not be studying your Bible, not be worshiping as you ought to? God's not my priority if I'm not there putting Him in His holy will before all else. And then, as a final word of encouragement, we say this. After baptism, have an earnest, heartfelt desire that more than anything else, I want to go to heaven. I want to go home and be with God. Paul said, I'm hard-pressed between the two. I want to stay here and help you, which is good, or depart and be with the Christ, which is far better. Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this present day, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which will one day be revealed in us. I want to go to heaven. I want to live with God. I want to spend eternity with Jesus, don't you? If so, after baptism, you've got to have an earnest desire to go to heaven. Our true citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. I want to not only pray, our Father who art in heaven, I want to be in His presence one day. I want to surround the almighty throne of God and worship God for the ages. Friend, do you really have as your earnest desire to go home, to go to heaven? If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not do that today? Having heard the word, believe in Jesus, John 8:24. Having believed, repent of your sin, Luke 13:3. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. And then, be faithful unto death and walk in newness of life as you desire to make heaven your home.